birds of the air, of the sky, and over the living, every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant-yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit-yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This, brothers and sisters, this chapter tells us how this world came to be. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That statement alone is a very bold statement. It's a bold statement because it is a claim. It is a claim that says that God has made everything, and everything is a product of God and his design. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, family of God, our faith rests on the beginning of this book. Because if in the beginning something else made the heavens and the earth, what is the point of Christ having to die for our sins? If in the beginning the God of trees, a God of the earth, a God of water, God of the air, God of clouds, God of sky, and all these different gods, completely separate, individual gods, came together and created the earth. Which one would choose to give himself for sinful mankind? It doesn't make sense. But God, in the beginning, God. This word here for God is Elohim. And for those of you who are understand that Elohim is actually a plural. So in a way, it's as though the Bible is saying in the beginning gods. And yet when we get to Deuteronomy chapter 6, an amazing thing is proclaimed. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. There's the word, Elohim. The Lord is one. As you go throughout the scriptures and you begin to take in the text, especially in the New Testament, you begin to see that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, that it's not multiple gods. It's actually one God. But he displays himself in three persons. And you have to do a study, especially in the New Testament, to understand that. But the triunity of God is not the focal point of today's study or today's message. In the beginning, God. Everything that you and I understand and know and can comprehend as far as our limited abilities go, cognitively, using our brain, using our mind. Everything has a beginning. We understand that. For example, how did you get here? How did you happen to be in this world? Well, for those of you who don't know, we're going to fast forward to a specific point, which is called conception. It's where the sperm enters in, penetrates the outer layer of the ovum, and goes in and fertilizes that egg. That egg then becomes a zygote. That zygote, goat, thank you. I have to look at my wife for the medical things. That zygote then begins to grow and cells begin to form and cluster. And by the third day, there's about 13 to 32 cells in that zygote. And it begins to grow and continues to grow, and it becomes an embryo. And that embryo, that baby in the womb, by 21 or 22 days, has a heartbeat. A heartbeat. And over the next 37 or so weeks, that little child begins to grow, form fingers, arms, toes, legs, feet, eyes, nose, mouth. The brain develops. The skeletal system comes into play. The nervous system starts to come in. The organs develop. And then after about 40 or so weeks, and I find it interesting that it's approximately 40 weeks that a baby is in the womb. 40 is significant in the Bible. This is a rabbit trail. But after about 40 or so weeks, out this baby comes into the world. And that baby begins to learn to use muscles that have never been used, and to roll and to walk and crawl, preferably the other way around, crawl then walk. And as he or she develops and begins to stand and walk and begins to run, he starts to realize, I have a voice. I can use it. And all of a sudden, you got a little toddler running around screaming his head off, crying whenever he doesn't get his way, laughing when everyone around him goes like this because we're all Judah's puppets. But that little baby grows up and begins to develop a history and begins to learn things and starts to use their mind and put words into sentences and be able to communicate with one another, with other people around them, develops relationships. And that child continues to grow. Eventually, one day, he begins to choose a career, a spouse, a place to live, a church to attend. All began that one sperm penetrating the outer layer of the ovum. We understand beginnings. In the beginning, God. God existed from eternity past. He was before creation. He is the Creator. And this statement right here in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, reveals that God was before all of this ever happened. You and I, before January 2nd, 2011, God was. And God will always be. Unlike us, when we say, look what I've made, look what I created. For a painter, an artist, for example, takes a piece of paper, right? They'll take a paper and a brush, paint. Or if you're a pencil artist, you prefer pencils. Or maybe you like to color with crayons and things like that. It's okay if you're an adult and you like crayons. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And if anyone says otherwise, you just say, that's why I'm unique. That's why I'm different. But we need stuff. We need materials. And we take those materials and we manipulate them. And we fashion them and we shape them into something that appeals to whatever it is that we are thinking, whatever it is that we're trying to imagine and trying to bring out on paper. We create. With things that have been created. And yet God, in the beginning, God created out of nothing this. Try to imagine nothing for a moment. Everyone in this room fails because what you're thinking about right now is not nothing. We cannot comprehend nothing because we've always known something. It's like we can't comprehend the eternal existence of God because when the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, we cannot comprehend the eternal existence of God because we cannot even begin to understand or comprehend eternity. God created out of nothing all of this. And because God created from nothing all of this, He then becomes distinguished from His creation. He becomes separate. And it begins to make sense to us why God would be so holy and so righteous. So perfect. It begins to make sense to us when we start to grasp the fact that God is separate from His creation because it was He who, from out of nothing, spoke things into existence. That because He is who He is, sin and wickedness cannot enter into His presence. Because that is the adultery is the perversion of the thing that he had created to be perfect. It makes sense. And not only does it make sense, it shows and reveals to us how great this God is that we serve. I'm sorry, but too many times in my own life, and I use myself as an example because I don't want to draw out from you your own guilt and your own faults. Let the Spirit of God do that. But too many times, myself, I complain and I murmur. I say, why do things have to be this way? And if you don't believe me, you can just ask my wife. And if you ask her for details, then she ain't going to give them to you. But too many times, why, God? Why? And I try to think, well, maybe if I just do this, then things are going to change. And then I do that, and it doesn't change. And then I'm back at square one asking God, why? Why did you do this? Why did you create things? Why did you fashion and form the plan of things to be like this? And I try to take that into my own hands, and I try to play God. And try to outdo him. But if he's God, we're not. If he was the one who was in the beginning, then I should think and look at it more from, or try to, his perspective. Because if the Bible says that God works out all things to the good of those who love him, there's a plan and a purpose. But I have very, very, very little control over my situations. And yet, this God, Elohim, was in the beginning. He's got control over it all. With this single statement, in the beginning, God, just to kind of refresh our memories. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Out of nothing, he created something. Everything is his, part of his design. Everything comes from him. Everything works according to his sovereign will and his sovereign plan. There's nothing that you and I can do to thwart that, to mess it up. This God was in the beginning. He created this world, which is too big for one person to inhabit, and this universe, too big for even us as people, as human beings, to begin to fathom. Why is it Why is it? So many times we forget to give him his due glory. Why is it that too many times we do not put him in the place that he deserves to be? If in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and then on day six he created man, our faith our trust, our hope is in a God who is greater and bigger than anything you and I could ever imagine or fathom. And that right there, to me, and I hope to you, is humbling. We will never, in closing, be able to fully comprehend everything that we are going to study over the next weeks to come. Brothers and sisters, do not even try to attempt to comprehend everything that we are going to study over these next few weeks. Because there is no way. You can specialize in something. You can become a nurse or a doctor or physical therapist and understand muscles and the skeletal system and the nervous system, but you will never completely understand the intricate workings of the human body. Why it is that laminin, that very thing that holds our bodies together, how did that come into being? God is the only explanation. He created it. For those of you who get into the human services or the mental health, you get into psychology, trying to figure out what's going on with the psyche of man, what's going on in his soul and his mind. Go ahead, study that. Know it, understand it, but you will never get to the bottom of it because we did not create it. God created it. It's just like even being a student of God's Word. I don't care how many times a person studies this and goes over pages and understands the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic and the middle voice and the high voice and whatever voice is there and understands all the punctuations and so on and so forth, you'll never, never get to the bottom of understanding this, because the God who made it all is greater than what we could ever think or fathom. I want to read you the passage. Because if we understand that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and that God is completely separate and different from his creation, and yet he made his creation to glorify him, to exalt him. He made man so that way we could have intimate fellowship and relationship with God. I guess on my part, stop some bad thinking in my life. And then I hope that this works. This touches you as we think about how great God is. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens by the span, and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure, and weighed the mountains in a balance and the hills in a pair of scales. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has informed him? With whom did he consult, and who gave him understanding? And who taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and informed him of the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, he lifts up the islands like fine dust or dust. Even Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor its beast enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him, as they are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. To whom, then, will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare him with? As for the idol of a craftsman casts it, a goldsmith plates it with gold, a silversmith fashions chains of silver. He who is too impoverished for such an offering selects a tree that does not rot, and he seeks out for himself a skillful craftsman to prepare an idol that will not totter. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretch out the curtains, the heavens like a curtain, and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely they have been planted, scarcely they have sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth, but he merely blows on them and they wither, and the storms carry them away like stubble. To whom will you liken me that I would be his equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created the stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. This is the God who we serve. This is the God of whom the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No one, absolutely no one can compare to him. Let's take that truth. Not only listen, not only comprehend, not only meditate on it in our hearts, but let's take that truth and live because we believe it. Live because God is the one who's in control of every circumstance, every situation, everything. Amen. This time, I'd like to call the worship team up. We're going to partake in communion.